The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 8th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. With me at the board here is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. And just think about that. Right now, we're having a solar eclipse, right, Ken?
Yeah,
we're having a solar eclipse, and it'll be here in California around 11:15 a.m., which is about 13 minutes. My goodness.
It'll be any time now.
Any time, and here we are recording. I am so excited. I can almost feel the energy.
During the whole show.
During the whole show, this eclipse is going to be happening, so this is very mystical to me. Anyway, you know, with so much going on in the world today, I thought I would do a commentary on the show this morning. I'm going to play some special music and be sharing some thoughts on what is going on in today's world from my perspective. You know, it's really interesting. Before I come on the air, Amy Goodman is on the air, and the last sequence she had was about the danger of climate change. And, you know, April 22nd is going to be Earth Day, and it's so interesting because we'll be on the show. We'll be actually on the air on Earth Day, and I'm really excited about that. And I'm going to have Ken talking about his experience at San Jose State when they buried a car. Ken, what year was that they buried the car? Do you remember?
Around
1970. So here we are, 1970 to 2024, and we're still talking about the same thing, that we're in danger of climate change. And we've seen so many earthquakes. We've seen tornadoes. We've seen, I mean, in New York, they actually had an earthquake, which is, I believe, is the first time that ever happened. So things are really changing around the planet, and I still do not understand why there's not more focus on it. And then also, when you're listening to Amy Goodman also about what's happening in Gaza and happening with the children, I mean, it is just, I can't believe that 2024, here we are, a human species that's invented an airplane that can fly through the air, you know, against all gravity. We get up in the air, we fly all over the universe here. You know, we have computers and technology that is just amazing. I mean, to me, when I sit down at my computer, I'm just amazed at some of the things I can do. And we still cannot find a way to not only solve the climate crisis, but to solve wars, why we're still warring. I mean, for heaven's sakes, when are we going to stop as a human species and start understanding that we have to sit down and talk with each other and work these things out? You know, and all of a sudden you hear all these things about God and territories and, you know, God gave me this land and territories over here. You know, I can't visualize anybody saying, you know, you're going to have this piece of property and you can do whatever you want to make sure that you get it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me anymore. So that's why I thought I would just have the show just for myself today and just talk about some of my opinions and some of my thoughts. And, you know, if you have any thoughts or opinions that you might want to share, you know, email me at elainebholtz@gmail.com. That's E-L-A-I-N-E, middle initial B, H-O-L-T-Z @gmail.com. You know, let me know what you think about these opinions that I'm presenting. Let me know what you think about the songs and the show in general. And if you have any ideas or if there's a special guest that you'd like to recommend, please do not hesitate to do so. And also, if you have a special birthday or an anniversary or any things that are coming up, please feel free to contact me, and I'm happy to make that announcement. Well, I have a very, very special thing. You know, it was very interesting. Weeks go by so fast. And last week was April Fool's, and we had the first Monday of the show on the first Monday of the month of a new month. And usually I take care of certain announcements. And I missed this one, and I want to acknowledge it. And that is a very sad announcement, but it's still important, I think, that we acknowledge it. Well, it was the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, a mortal shooting that happened on April 4th, 1968, as he stood on the second floor balcony of the Rain Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. He had just led a march by striking sanitation workers. In response to Dr. King's death, more than 100 American cities exploded in rioting, looting, and violence. Amazing. You know, when you start thinking back on it, you know, here in 1968, you know, all the violence that happened. And I can remember it like it was yesterday, hearing on the radio that Dr. King was shot and killed. And also I can still hear the announcement when Robert Kennedy Jr. Made the announcement to the people in Memphis about what happened to Dr. King. And the sorrow that went through the communities across the nation was just amazing to me. And then the violence. The violence was very, very sad. You know, really, it really made me feel, I just felt horrible that people were so violent and what was happening in the streets. But then at the same time, you know, people are so frustrated. You know, nothing's happening. You still have all this racism. You know, the sanitation workers trying to get a decent wage. I mean, it goes on and on. And here we are in 2024, and we're still struggling with the same issues. And my question is, where's the leadership? Where are the leaders that come forth and stand up for the people? Not for the corporations, not for themselves individually. I mean, there was a report done that people that leave Congress, that leave the Senate, end up tripling their incomes and their net worth. You know, it seems like it's all about money. It seems all about power and money. And what is that getting us? But a lot of debt and frustration and violence. So much violence in the world. I mean, there was on Facebook, there was a picture of a little boy with a Jewish star on. So I imagine he was a Jewish little boy and a little Palestinian young boy. And they were both had these holding up their hands with the peace symbol. And I think all children, all of us want peace. I mean, I certainly want peace. I love when it's so quiet at nighttime when I can put on the radio and listen to some soft music in my own home and know that nobody's going to break the door down and pull me out, or there's not going to be a bomb dropping in the next door neighbor or something like that happening, or some child coming out of its home screaming because it's injured. I mean, we have a lot to think about, folks, you know, and I don't mean to be a doomsdayer, because I'm not a doomsdayer. You know, I believe that if we put our minds and our hearts with the idea that we are going to demand that we create peace and justice in our world, I think that it'll make a big difference. And my whole calling, of course, is for women to stand up, because we are the ones who bring forward life. We are the ones who bring forward the children. You know, when I decided to have a child, my first husband and I decided to have my daughter, Susan, it was a big decision, because we knew that we were making a lifetime commitment, and we wanted to make sure that we had all our ducks in order before we brought another human being into the world. Having a child is a lifetime commitment, and we bring forward, we the women, we go through 9 months. 9 months our body goes through all these different changes to bring this little miracle forward. And look what's happening to these young children in Gaza. It just breaks my heart. As a mother, as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother, I just say to myself, oh my goodness, how is this happening? And my philosophy is, as long as there is one child in this world that is not safe, all children are not safe. And we have to start thinking about it that way. Well, you know, I really felt that back to the assassination of Dr. King, I really believe it was a huge loss in this world. Well, I want to do a shout out to my friend Concha, who's an activist here in the community and always reminding me what's going on. And it looks like there's going to be on April 13th at Andy's Unity Park here in Santa Rosa. It's for children, for the children. It's the Mexican national holiday that celebrates children, and it's celebrated on at the end of the month, but somehow that they are celebrating it here on the 13th of April, and she's trying to encourage folks to go out and bring your kids. They're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of games, food. And if I know Concha, just a lot of love and a lot of good spirit. So if you want to find out more information about this, just go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. And I think it's so important that we celebrate our children. Why do I say that? Because our children are the future, and what we invest in them is like we are investing in the future. You know, we have to have education for our children so they know how to read, how to write, how to make decisions, critical thinking. All those things are so important for a strong, secure, and safe democracy, and we need to start thinking about that. I don't think we think a lot about those things, you know, because we're all so boggled down, you know, with our own work and trying to just survive each day that I think it really becomes very difficult. But we have to put a little space aside, that we have to do something. And the very least you can do is speak out. You know, maybe write a letter to the editor. Talk to a friend who may be opposing what you're thinking. Make a donation. You know, support your local radio stations. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can get involved. So start thinking about that, because we all need to come together and work for peace and work for equality and work for rights. It's so, so important. Well, as you know, I do a thing called Our History is Our Strength, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this later on. But today, I can't believe it. It's April 8th, and what is celebrated on April 8th is called Step into the Spotlight Day. Now, the whole idea of Step in the Spotlight Day was started during World War II, because they had to bring many, many different type of people into the factories to build the planes and the bombs and all that other good stuff that we prepare for war. And so what they put people on the spotlight by training them and helping them learn different skills. But I took it one step further. To me, put yourself in the spotlight by speaking out. And I'm going to talk just a little bit more about that as we get into the program. So as we do every single week, which I'm really happy about that, you know, that I'm here every single week. It's just amazing. You know, I just had my 84th birthday. I'm still shocked that I'm as old as I am, but that's okay. You know, at least I'm still here, still on the radio, still mispronouncing names, but I got a good one to pronounce this morning, so we'll see how good I do. So let's talk a little bit about Our History is Our Strength. Today is April 8th, so on Sunday, which is the first day of the week here, April 7th, and she was born in 1805. And it wasn't that she was born in April 7th, 1805. She began helping the Lewis and Clark expedition as an interpreter. And that was Sacagawea. Did I do it right, Ken? She was a Shoshone woman who accompanied the Lewis and Clark expedition in 1804 to 1806. Also called the Corps of Discovery. The expedition traveled from the Northern Plains to the Rocky Mountains to the Pacific Ocean and back. Her skills as a translator were invaluable, as was her intimate knowledge of some of the difficult terrain. Perhaps the most significant aspect of her was her calming presence on both the expedition team and the Native Americans they encountered, who might have otherwise been hostile to the strangers. Remarkably, Sacagawea did it all while caring. Listen to this, a typical mother. While caring for her son, she bore just 2 months before parting. So here's this woman helping these men go on this expedition finding new land. And here she's bringing her 2-month-old baby. I mean, ladies, we got to give ourselves a pat on the back. We are strong and invincible. That's my belief. Well, on April 7th, 1987, that was a real interesting time for women. And you know, it's so interesting, these women's museums and stuff that get in. I often wonder how they get in. You know, there's so many people that don't get in, but that's okay. We have to look at it, and we have to realize there is a women's museum, and if we do have any information, that we can contribute to it. Well, it opened on April 7th, 1987. It's called the National Museum of Women in the Arts in Washington, D.C. The first museum devoted to women artists. Isn't that amazing? A museum in 1987. Well, it brings back a real strong memory to me. Was I went to Sonoma State University. That's where I got my bachelor's degree in sociology. And my claim to fame is that I was a student of Dr. Carl Jensen, who started my mind is blank with the book that they started, but it was a book about all the different stories that don't get into the newspapers, and I was very, very excited to have him as a teacher. But what was so interesting is I also went to school with a woman by the name of Molly Murphy McGregor, who was one of the co-founders of the National Women's History Project, now known as the National Women's History Alliance. And her and I were walking to class. This was in, I believe it was in 1974 that her and I were walking to class, and she was telling me about J.J. Wilson and Karen Anderson, who were writing this book about women artists. And I said to her, I says, Molly, are there really women artists? I mean, that's how we were so in the dark about the accomplishments of women. I mean, it's just an amazing thought when you start thinking about it. And I actually believe I gave her the first slide of a woman by the name of Ray Stancliffe, who also did art. And I was amazed to find a woman artist. And here we have a museum that was started in 1987. I'm going to go back a second here with what I was talking about before about Dr. Carl Jensen. The program that he started was Project Censored, which is notable all across the globe, an amazing program. Anyway, I think that was amazing about the art. And here we have a art museum. Well, now another event happened that was very, very interesting, and this was April 9th, 1939, and I talked about this a few programs back, and that was when Marianne Anderson sings the Easter Sunday concert for more than 75,000 people at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. Now, there's a little story behind that. You know, when it was first suggested that Marianne Anderson, who was a contralto, who had a voice that was beyond most of us would ever achieve, it was the Daughters of the American Revolution said, no way will that woman, because she was black, sing in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And Eleanor Roosevelt, who was the first lady at that time, she said, wait a minute. What's going on here? Just because she's a woman of color, she can't sing in front of the Lincoln Memorial? Well, to make a long story short, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt quit the Daughters of the American Revolution and made it possible for Marianne Anderson to sing in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Another famous woman that I'm thinking about is Marianne Williamson. It's like, you know, get to hear Miriam, Marianne. It's just amazing, all these different names. Well, now we have some birthdays, and I'll tell you, this woman is my hero. This woman was an amazing, amazing woman. She was born April 10th, 1880, and she made her transition in 1965, and that was Frances Perkins, the first woman cabinet member. She was Secretary of Labor in 1933 and a key contributor to the Social Security Act and the Fair Labor Standards Act. And it's very, very interesting. Frances Perkins was a wonderful, very, very powerful woman. And in her own personal life, she was struggling with a husband who had some mental issues. And she had one daughter, I believe, that was having some issues. But she stood up and she said, when she was actually, she was a social worker. And when she went to college, she was walking and there was a fire. It was a fire in a factory where she saw these women jumping out of buildings. And it was just a horrendous situation that she encountered. And at that point, she said, when the day comes, one day I'm going to be able to bring safety rules and regulations into the factories for women and children. And she did exactly that. And also for older people like ourselves, you know, when we retire, you know, it's nice to have that Social Security. It really gets most of us through the day. And Frances Perkins was responsible for that. So happy birthday. She was born April 10th, 1880, and made her transition in 1965. But she also had a friend with her who was actually born April 13th, 1892. And I often wonder if her and Frances Perkins kind of shared their birthdays together. You know, when you have, you know, all your friends, like the March birthdays, the April birthdays, you know, I often think of if these two got together and had lunch together. And that was Clara Bayer. She was a labor lawyer. She worked with Frances Perkins and Molly Durson on the Social Security Act of 1935, campaigned to abolish children labor and to secure minimum wage and maximum hour scales. Amazing. These two women. That's why I think there should be a call that we have more women legislatures and allow them to have a voice. I mean, I can't believe some of the women that are coming forward that are supporting the abortion bans and all this other. I have to scratch my head all the time when I hear about these things, especially when you hear about these two women who said, no, we need child labor laws and we need Social Security for our elder and we need to protect the workers of our country. It's amazing. Two women came forward, and I often try to imagine what it was like with Frances Perkins, because one of the strongest labor leaders at that time was John Lewis, and I think he was of the AFL-CIO, and I just can't imagine her in a meeting with him. I kind of try to think about it, because these were some really rugged individualists that had strong opinions, and here was Frances Perkins. And by the way, just a little tidbit about her that I really share with her. She always wore a hat. And the reason she wore a hat was her mother told her that the shape of her face, it does not look very good unless she has a hat on. And so she wore a hat. Every picture you see of her, she's wearing this black hat. It's just amazing. So happy birthday, Frances Perkins, and happy birthday, Clara Bayer. And thank you. I mean, these are our ancestors. These are the women. These are the ones who came before us, who laid the groundwork for so many wonderful things. And when you think of some of the issues that are going on today and some of the powers that are behind trying to change these things, it just breaks your heart. It really does. Well, our last person that we're celebrating, which I think is very another one who is important. And you know, when you go into these, our history is our strength, you begin to understand what has gone on in the past and the power of women. Of women standing up and saying, I want to be heard, and this is what I believe. And this woman was born on April 13th, 1919, and made her transition in 1995. And that was Madeline Murray O'Hare. She was an outspoken atheist behind the 1962 Supreme Court 8-1 ruling that organized Bible reading in public schools was unconstitutional. Here she did this all the way in 1962, and right now all this religious stuff that's going on. And you know, it's really interesting. One of the things when they talk about Christianity, you know, there's such a push to get, you know, Bible in the school. You know, we changed our Pledge of Allegiance to one nation under God, and liberty and justice for all also adds to that. You know, when you start thinking about it, what are we doing? you know, the whole purpose of the United States, what made it so strong, was we had people coming into this country that were so oppressed by religion that they said that no country, this country, will allow separation from the religion and the state. So important. You know, and another horrible thing, I have a little horror note here about Madeline Murray. I can't believe it. In 1995, she was kidnapped. And she was murdered by a former employee. I mean, because he, and when I looked it up, they didn't have his name, but they said there was some sort of agitation because of her position, not wanting Bible reading in the school. You know, that's the whole purpose of our country. You know, people that came here, they said, no, we don't want any more. You know, religion is so separate from government. When we govern, we govern. When we go to church, we go to church. Religion is politics is not church. It's kind of mind-boggling how, you know, sometimes you think we've come a long way and sometimes you think we're going nowhere. So anyway, these are just some thoughts. And like I said, you know, our history is our strength. You know, you need to look it up. And why is it our strength? Because it shows us what can happen and what needs to happen. You know, and when I read these women that were so involved, particularly this last one about no Bible reading in the schools, of course not, because when you go in a classroom of children, you don't see one religion. There's many, many different types of beliefs. And that's the beauty of our country, that we're allowed to believe what makes us feel good or what is important to us. So there's a lot to think about, an awful lot to think about. And, you know, last week, the end of the month on Friday, I had such a – the end of month in March, I had such a packed schedule that we were not able to do the pledge. And I thought maybe since I'm making a commentary this morning, I would talk a little bit about the pledge and maybe just read it to everybody. You know, the pledge is an interesting thing. I call it the Women's Spaces Pledge. I actually wrote it for my grandson, Ryan, when he came out of a kindergarten class telling me that his teacher told him he was a bad boy. And my hair just stood on end. How dare anybody tell my grandson that he's a bad boy? And I says, no, you're not a bad boy, Ryan. Your self-esteem does not matter with what that teacher thinks of you. Your self-esteem matters, and I jokingly said, what your grandmother thinks of you and what you think of yourself. You know, the outside world should not determine you, although it does. I mean, I can understand, you know, you bring certain skills, you know, you have to do certain things. I understand those things are important. But, I mean, as far as self-esteem goes, that has to be an inner job. It has to be your own self-esteem, your own understanding of who you are. You know, and especially today when they're having, let me get this, which I think is a Shine Your Light Day. You know, it says, let me read just the, I'm going to read the first paragraph here. Okay, this is the history of Step Into the Spotlight Day. I think it's really wonderful. Humans have always sought to improve themselves, and this has been shifted from survival-driven learning during an ancient time to educated, rooted in antiquity, to the influence of war and military strategies on education, and finally to job skills in training and the development of individuals. So I think at that time when they decided to do this, they were looking at, you know, the war had broken out and they needed people in the factories. They needed, particularly the men were gone, so who came into the factories but the women? So they needed to really raise their self-esteem that they could do it, that there is a potential to do it, and also gave them training. But I want to take it one step further, you know, get the war thing out of it and get the training out of it, although training is very important, and start thinking about how can you step into the spotlight? Well, I believe, because the mission of Women's Spaces is to inspire women, to help them raise their self-esteem so they will speak out and will speak out against war, against violence to children, or against any violence. You know, it's so important. And when you think of what these two women, Frances Perkin and Clara made, these were two women that stood up against all these men to bring forward solid labor practices to protect our children in the factories. So I think it's so important is that we all step out into the spotlight and speak out. But it's difficult because most of us, especially when you go back all the way back, I believe it was Paul who actually said women should be silenced in the church. Now, here we are, the ones who give birth, and they're telling us we should shut up. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. And so the whole idea of the pledge, now listen to the words, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. However you define that higher power. And that idea behind that pledge is to give you the idea and the energy to be able to stand up without fear. I'll never forget the first time that I took a public speaking class. And I had to get up in front of the class. And all I had to say was my name and my major. And for some reason, the teacher picked me to come up in front, which is the last thing I wanted to do. I literally, my voice could not even say my name. That's how terrified I was. And if it was not for that class and that teacher, I would not be on the radio today. Because they gave me the skill of speaking out. They gave me the skill of not being afraid to be heard. And that's the whole mission of Women's Spaces, is to inspire women to listen to other women, to what they're doing. You know, and oftentimes people say, oh, you're a Pollyanna, Elaine, or, you know, you're too political. I mean, from one end of the spectrum to the other. Well, I don't think I'm too political because I believe all life is politics in some level or another. And as far as a Pollyanna, well, you know something? Sometimes I think I do believe a little bit out there. But so what? Why not believe in peace? Why not believe in that people can change their attitudes and their ideas? You know, why put a judgment on it? And that's the whole idea of this show, is to uplift women so they can speak out. And what are we speaking out for? We're speaking out for the children of the children that we're bearing, that are our future. And we want to secure that future. And you cannot secure a future with all these wars going on and all this fear being generated. I mean, even children in the United States are scared to death, for heaven's sakes, with all the violence they hear, all the shooting, all of a sudden going in, people going into public schools and shooting. I mean, I never knew, heard of anything like that when I was growing up. I mean, the world has definitely changed. So the whole idea of the Women's Spaces Pledge is to really to remind you that your self-esteem depends on you, on what you're putting yourself into, what you're reading, what you're listening to, what you're learning. And what you're deciding. You know, it's very, very, very important as women that we stand up. I mean, when I listen to the news, and unfortunately, I don't hear too many good things. But it's important. It's important that we pay attention. Well, that's a lot to think about, like I said. Women's Spaces is all about that. Women thinking, women deciding to speak out for themselves and for the children. You know, I remember when I first got to Sonoma State and I became part of Women's Studies, I couldn't believe how oppressed I was. I said, what? Really? Are you kidding? You know, it was a time I will never forget. And by the way, I want to do a little shout out because I read in the Press Democrat there is a lesbian archives here in Sonoma County. And I want to really a shout out to my dear, my teacher, Ann Neal, who was so important in my life. She was the head of the Women's Studies Department when I came into Sonoma State. And it was just an amazing time. I mean, how she helped empower us was just, I mean, I can't even explain that. I can't even think of the words except to say thank you, Ann Neal. Thank you for who you were. And also to my dear friend, if she's listening out there, Tina Duggan, who I'm telling you has been so inspiring to me. And she's the one who has been a really motivated to get the lesbian archives together. And to all my lesbian sisters out there, you know, it's about time you recognize. You know, I mean, it was a struggle. It was a struggle that we went through during the second women's movement that we were all part of. And, you know, it's all changing. And a shout out to the Press Democrat for doing such a wonderful article about the lesbian archives and about the importance of acknowledging all women, no matter what their choices are. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break now, Ken, if that's okay with you. And we're going to play a special song. We are singing For Our Lives by Holly Near. As mentioned at the beginning of the show of this program, I'm taking time to share some of the thoughts and feelings I have been having over the past several weeks. And this song, you know, this song I think is so appropriate for those times, as many of us are standing up and countries far and near are singing for their lives. We women in the USA are fighting for our lives as we're learning. We're losing so many different things, particularly on the right to choose. I mean, thank God many, many women are standing up and a lot of initiatives are getting on the ballot. So hopefully all that's going to change. So let's just go ahead and play that song. We're singing For Our Lives by Holly Near. And when we come back, we will be continuing with this conversation and comments. Hello. What happened, Ken?
The song
was very, very short. Well, we are singing for our lives, and I'm sorry that it's so short, but that's okay. If you go on to Women's Spaces, hopefully we'll try to get the whole song on there. For you just joining us, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions here, and I'm giving the opinion, expressed are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. So, but I will say it is the opinions of Elaine B. Holt, and I'm not afraid to say that. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and today I am sharing some of my thoughts and ideas. And I would appreciate if those listening, please drop me a note, elainebholtz@gmail.com, and let me know what you think about today's show. Let me know what you think about some of these opinions. You might disagree with me. You know, you might want to be a guest and have a conversation of why you disagree with me. I think that would be kind of fun. Well, I have another special. I noticed Amy Goodman will cough every once in a while, so I feel it's okay if I cough. Anyway, I don't know what's wrong with my voice this morning. Wow. Well, I have a special save the date for all listeners, which is very important. The National Organization for Women, called NOW, is having their California conference on August 10th. The theme, I love this, is moving forward and igniting change. Moving forward and igniting change. I'm so excited. I had a little to do with it here in Sonoma County, and the it's going to be happening at the Presbyterian Church, Church of the Roses, and volunteers are needed to help. And, you know, it's so important that women gather and stand together for justice and peace. You know, I'll be at the conference and we'll have some special Women's Spaces pledges to pass out to everyone. So mark your calendars for August 10th. More information will be provided, and I'm also hopefully going to have our California president on. We'll talk a lot about it. And it's so important, like I said, that women gather. And also, I want to do a shout out for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. We have been struggling for years to keep that chapter open. And I am so happy that Karina, who's the president of California now, agreed to have the conference up here in Sonoma County. We're going to be having women coming over from all over the world. And of course, men are invited. I mean, Ken will be there. I mean, It's not just women. It is women, but it's women who invite men who are allies. And I think that's very, very important. And also, I really want to encourage you to look up, you know, now Sonoma, the website is nowsonoma.org. And I want you to just see all the stuff that is going on and become a member of NOW. Support the local chapter. It's so important, particularly now with women losing their rights. And if you don't want to become a member, and I know there are many women out there that have some extra change in their pocket, make a donation to NOW. You've got to support the organization to keep it alive and well in Sonoma County. It is so important. And if you have any questions about it, or you want to know anything more about NOW, or you'd like to engage in a conversation with me about it, just send me an email, elainebholtz@gmail.com, and I will be glad to answer you, and we can have a little dialogue, and you can find out more about NOW. But it's very important that as women, especially the women out there, become a member, support your local women's organizations. And NOW is one of the most powerful in the nation with over 500,000 members. And when we show up with a lot of clout behind us. So it's very important, and I hope I see many, many of you at the conference. Like I said, mark your calendars for August 10th. It's going to be at the Presbyterian Church, Church of the Roses, and it's going to be a marvelous event. I actually submitted a proposal to do a presentation on self-esteem. I don't know if they'll approve it or not, but if you know of anybody that you feel that can do a presentation or has a lot to share, please contact them. That's nowsonoma.org. Let them know, and we will contact you, and we will get the information to the committee that's working on this project. So there's a lot to do. You know, I talk a lot about the importance of speaking out and self-esteem. And I wanted to share a song that continues to remind me of how important it is to pay attention when you see wrong, speak out. When you see right, speak out. You know, praise people when they do something. You know, I am not a fan of Liz Cheney, but when I saw what she did on the committee that she was on around Trump and the insurrection that happened, I actually wrote her a letter and said what a wonderful job she's doing. You know, so it's important that we pay attention to these things. You know, you can do that in many ways. You know, you have to educate yourself, share information with your friends and family, write a letter to the editor, support programs that support your values via volunteering or even cash donations. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we can get involved. And the song that I want to play and I want to analyze a little bit with you is the song called "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." And it's sung by a woman by the name of Ellen Brooksdale. And we even had Ellen Brooksdale. In fact, I'm going to see if I can get her on the show once again. She wrote another song, "Who's the Pusher Now?" I love it when they had all the drug wars going on. But when I first heard this song, "By My Silence, I Give My Consent," you know, what does that mean? And then when I start doing the history of the history of this song is very, very important. It was written by Martin Niemöller. He was an outspoken critic during World War II of Hitler's interference in the Protestant church. So that's what kind of gave him the oomph to start speaking out. And he spent the last 8 years of Nazi rules in from 1937 to 1945 for speaking out in Nazi prison camps. So you see, speaking out is very, very difficult. The powers that be don't want to hear the truth often. And he had a level of truth when he was being critical. But it was interesting. He was very centered in one issue, which was the Presbyterian Church, instead of Pardon?
Lutheran.
Oh, no. It's the Protestant Church. The inference in the
They're Lutheran in Germany.
Oh, it was Ken is telling me that this is a Lutheran. Thanks, Ken. I love having Ken here. He just helps me. He's such a historian. Thanks. In Germany, it was considered the Lutheran Church. Well, this is where the song, if you listen to the song, this is what it came out of. Mueller wrote a very famous, they call it a poem. It's really prose, according to this article that I read. But we call it a poem. And I'm going to read it to you. And then we're going to play the song, "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." So you ready, Ken, to cue that song up?
Yep. Ready.
It's already queued up. Okay, here's what the poem says. And this is very interesting. "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me. Then they came for me. And nobody was there. Then they came for me, and nobody was there." So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song.
Not a communist, so when they came for the communist, I held my tongue, minded my own business like a good neighbor. I trusted the justice was done.
I didn't ask what was their crime, it was their sadness wasn't mine. I didn't care where they were sent. For my silence, I gave my consent. For my silence, gave my consent. I am not Jewish, so when they came for the Jews, I had nothing to say. Branded with stars like cattle in boxcars. Taken away. I didn't ask what was their crime, it was their sadness wasn't mine. I didn't care where they were sent. For my silence, I gave my consent. For my silence, gave my consent.
Ignorant.
I didn't care what was their crime
till their sorrow turned into mine. Their sorrow turned into I was okay, 'cause I was a citizen,
and I was free. I didn't care, now there's nobody there, no one to speak out for me.
I'm telling you, that song just really, you know, by my silence, I give my consent. And, you know, the biggest silence that you give is when you do not vote. Here we are, a free country, a democratic country, and people do not vote. Shame on you. It's so important. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And we have been, I've been doing a commentary, and I hope you all got something out of it. I don't want to use the word enjoyed, because some of the things that I talked about are not happy, but there's a lot going on in the world, and we must stand up for it. We must stand up for it. And that's what this song says. By our silence, we give our consent. Well, we come just about to the end of the show, and I really appreciate all of you that are out there listening. I know that I have two fans out there, two male fans that I want to say hi to, my dear friend Randy Hurley. Randolph, I hope you're feeling good no matter where you are. We love you. And my friend Daniel Hemingway, who is also listening up in the mountains. And all of my wonderful listeners out there, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting me. And please support your women's programs, for example, the National Organization for Women. And I'm going to end the show. I'll have a few comments. I'll have a few more minutes after this. By one of my heroes, and that's Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou is a poet and a woman that has inspired me for years and years. Whenever I listen to her poetry, when I ever listen to that deep voice of hers, I fall madly in love every time I do it. And she's a woman of color who has transcended, who has stood up, a woman who was raped in her lifetime. And yet she stood up and with such a powerful voice and got so many acclamations. I mean, this woman has master's degrees from more colleges than I can think of. And the whole idea that this powerful voice is among us. And she made her transition about 2 years ago now. And I just think that she should always be in our consciousness. And the song or the poem that I'm going to play now that she read. And this is the whole point of the program that I was trying to bring together to encourage women to stand up. It's called And Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. So let's go ahead and play that. And when we come back, we'll have a few last words.
Write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust. All right. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high. Still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes. Shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh, as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words, you can cut me with your lies, you can kill me with your hatefulness, but just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling and bearing in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise into a daybreak miraculously clear. I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so,
I am the hope and the dream. I am the hope and the dream. Like Martin Luther King, I have a dream. I am the hope of the dream of the slave. And still I rise. I mean, what do we got to complain about? Anyway, welcome back. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And I took this show for myself to give my opinions and some thoughts. You know, and I want to just also do a shout out for Ken for helping me this morning. And also to remind you that next week is going to be Earth Day. Or actually the 15th. The 15th is going to be, I'm not sure. But we're looking forward to Earth Day. And on Earth Day, Ken is going to tell his story about what happened with him at San Jose State when they buried a car. And we actually have a picture. We actually have a picture of him standing up on a mountain watching all this happen. Well, you've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I want to remind you, tell your friends Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. on Monday evenings, which is tonight. I'm so excited I get to hear my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements you'd like to make, and, you know, do not hesitate to email me at elainebholtz@gmail.com. That's E-L-A-I-N-E. B is in beautiful, H-O-L-T-Z, @gmail.com. And as I do every single Monday morning, I remind you, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And think of the children in war zones. And think of the song, "By My Silence, I Give My Consent." Think of the song, "And Still I Rise." Think of how important it is for women. We are the ones who bring forward the children. How important it is that we stand up for justice and peace for all. Our children are the future. We were all once children, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, April 8th, 2024.